Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
Good morning, church. Buenos dias, Iglesia. So, it is so nice to meet you. I know some of you have met before worship or Wednesday, so I officially introduce myself. I'm Cadet Chan Hyung Jang. I know, I can see your face. It challenges you to pronounce, so please call me Chan. But does that sound like a Chinese? No, I'm not. Actually, I come from north part of South Korea. So, anyway, I'm truly grateful and excited to serve this community with you for this wonderful season in the Salvation Army. So, well, have you ever thought about how strange God's message might sound when there is no context at all? For example, look at today's scripture. All of a sudden, someone, I know it is Paul, but if someone says, with no context, rejoice, pray, and give thanks. And these are not simple, polite requests, like, would you please? But they are imperatives, commands, followed by the words, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Of course, for those who already believe in God, this might sound somewhat reasonable, but for those who rely only on reason and logic, doing all these three sound almost impossible. Am I right? First, rejoice always. It is easy to rejoice when everything goes well. Life is going well. But if you fall and break your arm or leg while exercising or doing chores, or if something painful happens to your child or family, can you still rejoice? If someone shouted, wow, I broke my arm, I broke my leg, hallelujah. Those around might think that person has lost their mind, right? Maybe even call it a medical condition, mania. And second, pray without ceasing. Literally, without stopping. Can anyone really pray nonstop? If someone mumbles prayers all day long, 하나님 아버지 감사합니다. 오늘도 저에게 이런 양식을 주시고 날마다 우리에게 기쁜 걸 주신 감사합니다. Mumble, mumble, mumble all day long. People might start avoiding them or thinking something is wrong. And third, give thanks in all circumstances. In all? Really? What about bad situations? If someone hits your car from behind and you get out saying, thank you so much. Can you hit me again? Can you hit me again? Maybe the other person might call 911, not because of the accident, but because of you, right? So rejoicing in pain, praying without rest in a busy life, and giving thanks in everything can sound unrealistic. But God never asks us to do the impossible. When He commands something, He also gives us the power to obey. Let us pray first. Lord, through Your word today, teach us to stand on truth, not on circumstances. Help us find joy even in places where joy seems impossible. And thanksgiving even in realities that feel ungrateful. When we have no strength to pray, may the Holy Spirit awake prayer within us. In Jesus' name, amen. When Paul gave this message, the Thessalonian church was going through great hardship. Then what kind of hardship? First, there was external persecution and social isolation. The Thessalonian Christians faced problems because they were not like one of them. They were Gentiles. So some Jewish leaders and townspeople disliked them, since they were not Jewish, and even non-Jewish neighbors disliked their conversion. They faced threats, gossip, and sometimes lost money or job. If you think about the Middle East now and then, because of their different religion, different ethnicity, there's always hatred and tension. Recently, I heard the news about Nigeria. Something bad thing happened. It's miserable. Why? Because religion is different. So being a Christian in Roman society then was not easy. People avoided them, and they often felt left out by their own friends, family, and co-workers. The second struggle was internal. Believers were afraid and anxious. They wondered if they could stay strong in faith and what would happen in the future. Jesus had already ascended to heaven, but his promised return seemed delayed. They waited, but he didn't come. These believers who had left everything behind for Christ Jesus were filled with uncertainty. Imagine if someone moved here to America from another country. You might understand if you immigrate from another country, right? Imagine someone who has packed up everything to move to another country and is waiting for the person who promised to take them, but that person never shows up. Should they unpack and go home? What if they already sold their house? They would feel trapped and anxious, not knowing what to do, what they're going to do. So they live with fear, anxiety, and uncertainty, struggling to hold on to faith. That's what Thessalonian people are facing right at that time. So to those believers, Paul didn't gently suggest, but he boldly commanded, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And he added, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I know Paul had gone through so much and he was faithful. So maybe he could say that. But if you and I were in their shoes, how would this word have a sound to you and me? I began my ministry in 2016 at the Salvation Army Atlanta International Corps, serving youth and young adults. I have served 8 years as a BFI, youth and young adult worker, and SAMS. I didn't work at SAMS Club. It's a Salvation Army mission specialist, right? And then CMA is a mission associate. But I feel like I know Jacob, call me anytime, right? I'm ready to like work. That's CMA. So I have served 8 years. So then in meantime, June 2019, due to a certain ministry reassignment, as you know, Salvation officer moved to another corps to corps. So that's why new officer cannot speak Korean. So due to a certain ministry reassignment, I was asked to take charge of the Korean adult ministry. At the time, I was still a candidate preparing to apply for the training college. So as of one of the process to reduce personal debt, our family of four moved from a very nice and single house into a small, tiny, two-bedroom apartment. I expected to train in college in 2020, that's why I moved. But when the pandemic began at the end of the year, everything fell apart. In March 2020, my wife was told not to come to work. Since we lived paycheck to paycheck, we immediately began worrying about how to pay the next rent. To make things worse, I promised to send $1,000 to missionary friend in the Czech Republic, but now even we could pay our rent. At the time, I was maintaining my status on a religious visa. Although my change of status petition had been approved, applying for a permanent residency green card became impossible because my job title, as I mentioned, BFI, SAMS, and CMA, right? My job title on the petition did not match the one on my new pay stub after the reassignment of my ministry. I never intended, I didn't know that. And I even considered, I have a conversation with the officer, entering the Salvation Army Training College before my visa expired and switching to a student visa. But because of pandemic, everything at USCIS immigrant office closed and delayed, so I felt completely stuck. So my heart grew heavy. So feeling guilty for not spending enough time with my two beautiful daughters and only one wife, who is awesome, amazing, incredible. This is how I survived over the past 20 years, right? You have to appraise your wife, right? Because I felt guilty because not spending time with my family and trapped in this small apartment during lockdown. So I decided to take them for a short drive to get some fresh air in Chimney Rock in Tennessee. But right after we came back, I got sick. I had a fever and stomach upset and constant vomiting for no clear reason. Literally every 5 minutes, it felt like the toilet was calling me for another visit. Every 5 minutes. I honestly thought I might die because of diarrhea. I know it's gross, but it's real, right? I was very sick at that time. The symptom did not improve even after a week. And only one morning, once again, the toilet seemed to call me Chan. But that time, I lost my consciousness. I fell forward, hit my head on the stone bathtub, and split my lip open on the floor and was bleeding. I heard later from my wife and two daughters, my wife screamed because it fell down. There's a sound, bah! And then called 911, and I was rushed to the emergency room, ER. They ran multiple tests, but it wasn't COVID at all. There was no clear diagnosis, just dehydration. So I was given an IV and discharged a few hours later. But I had lost about 20 pounds in 3 weeks. So it was an extremely difficult time physically. So even I could not get up easily from bed. I love to sing, but I couldn't even hold a single note. I felt like a squid. Do you know squid? Squid. Out of water without bone. I felt like that, right? Then later, the ER bill, emergency room, they sent the bill, right? Arrived. $9,000. Oh, my Lord, $9,000 for just a few hours in the ER? God bless America, right? So it felt like every door was closing. I wanted to return to Korea, but I couldn't even afford a plane ticket for myself, let alone my family. It was one of the most desperate times in my life. Still, somehow, I kept serving and preparing sermons. Maybe just one of the sense of duty as a minister. And one day, I came across today's passage again. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And give thanks in all circumstances. Honestly, I sigh. Which once sounded inspiring, now felt completely hollow. Even I couldn't pray. But as I continued preparing that sermon, I began to sense the voice of the Holy Spirit stirring within me. As I reread the passage, my attention was drawn to the verses 9 through 10. At the time, many people were saying that COVID-19 was God's anger, God's wrath for human sin. I also wonder if I had done something wrong. I struggled emotionally with that thought. But verse 9 clearly says otherwise. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Not to pour out his anger on us. It reminds me of the man born blind in the Gospel of John. People ask Jesus, Was his blindness caused by his sin or his parents' sin? But Jesus said, it was not because of his sin or his parents' sin, but so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And then verse 10 continues, Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. At the very moment, my past flashed before my eyes like a movie. Have you experienced? The past, my experience like a flash movie. I remember the moment of my salvation. When I was in my late 20s, it was 20 years ago, so you can guess how old I am right now. So anyway, I came from third generation Christian family, but I didn't truly believe in God, just attending. I was lost. I was wandering aimlessly. At the time, I lost my job. I went to bankrupt. I don't want to share, but even look through the trash can trying to find the cigarette butt because I have no money and no purpose. I felt so miserable that I honestly wanted to die. I tried commit suicide one time, but God saved me. So one day, when I had no hope left, my mother encouraged. My mom is in Korea right now, right? She yelled at me to go to church, right? I didn't even know why, but I went. When I sat there, I suddenly began to cry. Really, really cry. And then something happened. I saw a vision. Jesus on the cross, bleeding and dying for me. For someone as hopeless as I was, that sight, his blood shed for me, broke my heart. At first, I cried uncontrollably. But then a strange joy filled me. I start smiling through my tears. If anyone has seen me, they probably would have thought I was crazy. Crying and smiling at the same time. Can you do crying, but I don't know how to do that. Can you do crying and smiling at the same time? They might have thought I'm crazy. But it didn't matter at all. What truly mattered was the creator of the heaven and earth loved me so much that he let his son die in my place. That grace touched me so deeply, I wept again. This time, not from sorrow, but from overwhelming gratitude and joy. Through that moment, gratitude and joy for my salvation overcame the crushing weight of my circumstances at the time. So once again, I surrender everything, my life, my plans, my future, my fears, into his hands, just as I had at the beginning of my first journey. Now we have a new hope. It's like we are dead before, lost and without direction. But now we are alive because of Jesus. We can start fresh and live with joy and purpose. For those who are in Christ, God's will is this, to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances. The key point is this, the foundation of joy, our prayer, our thanksgiving is not our environment, nor our condition. Our pain, fear, sickness, and worries do not have to control our joy and gratitude. True joy and thanksgiving come from knowing that we are saved through Jesus' death and, most importantly, resurrection. Not from what we are facing right now, no matter what it is. That joy and thankfulness give us strength also to pray. It's not something we can do by ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit who lives in us and help us to pray. The Spirit leads us beyond the simply asking for things to change and draw us into a close and intimate daily relationship with God, the one who is always with us. In Hebrew, Emmanuel. That's why Paul could boldly command, rejoice always, Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. I cannot compare to the pastor in Nigeria, even though they saw like a many massacre and then it's miserable, right? But I can sense his joy. Not the smiling, but like joy because of Christ. So our hearts and our lives don't depend on changing circumstances. They are grounded in the assurance of our salvation. That's why even when trial seems endless, we return to the cross. Because our grace reason for gratitude is unchanging love of God and salvation found in Jesus Christ. No circumstances can take away the foundation, and on it we stand firm in hope. After I just reaffirmed my salvation, after the realization, God began to perform miracles. Even for prayers I never spoke aloud, my wife's company, which had told her not to come in, apologized and paid her 2 months of salary, asking her to return to work. Through a co-worker, Maria, at the Atlanta International Corps, we received rent and the utility assistance for 2 months through Project Share and Project Hope. And I received a call from the hospital billing office that remaining $3,000 of my ER bill had been completely waived. And the territory headquarters corrected my job title and my pay stub, allowing me to apply for a permanent residency, even though my entry into training college was delayed. My status cleared. And because of the pandemic, my visa was automatically extended until my green card was approved. I don't need to apply for renewal. And the senior members of our church, most of them in 90s, heard about our situation and gave a love offering of $1,000, enabling me to send the promise to support my missionary friend in Czech Republic. Hallelujah. I know that God resolved every problem I faced. But those miracles themselves were not the true source of my thanksgiving, my joy, or my prayer. The true source of my thanksgiving, my joy, and my prayer is Jesus Christ himself. The three commands Paul gave us are not psychological strategy or positive thinking techniques. Even now, as we wait for Christ's return after his ascension, the same Holy Spirit dwells within us, teaching us and strengthening us. Then we can rejoice even in suffering, because it's not our circumstances, but our salvation and the Spirit's power that enable us to know and affirm the truth. I know many gray hairs, right? Let me ask a few questions. Those of you who are retired, if you don't mind, please raise your hand. Retire. A lot, I heard a lot, right? Hands down, please. So be honest. How does life feel compared to when you are still active in your profession, your field? Now, fewer calls and fewer visits, right? Do the things you once accomplished still bring you deep comfort and joy? Maybe not as much. Some of you may wrestle daily with the questions about purpose. And perhaps you feel a little sad because you had many plans after retirement for your later years that health has made difficult to fulfill. One of my friends told me that if you just travel after retirement, it's not like a travel, it's work. Because you have to find where's your joint, right? You can feel the pain. So it's not easy, right? Now, those who are still working, raise your hand. Okay, hands down, thank you. Because of your job, because of your family, because of your many responsibilities you carry, do your shoulders sometimes feel heavy? I know for sure that everyone, regardless of your age, you are retired or not, active or not, even though you don't have a job, it doesn't matter. Everyone is fighting their own battle in life. If that's true, can you always rejoice? Can you pray without ceasing? Can you give thanks in all circumstances? That's all very difficult, isn't it? Life can bring so many challenges. Broken relationships or divorce, struggles with children, I always say I don't like kids at all. But I like kids in Christ. So sometimes struggle with the kids, right? So also financial struggles. Be honest. Yeah, be honest. Yeah, so. In Christ. Yeah. So health problems. Losing a job. Sometimes losing a loved one. Nowhere to stay. I know somebody just like sleeping outside. And conflict at work. And loneliness was simply the heavy weight on responsibility you have. Even with all these difficulties, are we always joyful, peaceful, and carefree every day? For me, of course not. It's impossible by human strength. But this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. And to fulfill His will, God has given us the promise, the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, the truth of salvation revealed in Jesus Christ. Not for others. Don't think about others. For me, set us free from hardship and pain. Therefore, we can rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Accompanist Nick, would you please come forward and play the song that I gave earlier? Yet this truth, your salvation, do you remember when was it? If the truth has grown dim in your heart, if joy, prayer, and thanksgiving have become difficult, then today, right now, look to Jesus again. When you fix your eyes on Him, you begin to see light even in darkness and discover reason to give thanks even in pain. And the hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of glory and grace. So please, turn your eyes upon Jesus. In the light of His glory and grace, the pain of this world fades away, and His love becomes crystal clear. And then we realize the source of my true joy, the reason for my prayer, and the cause of my thanksgiving is not my situation or condition, but Jesus. Jesus alone. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light. As we turn our eyes to Jesus together, let's also remember those around us, our church family, friends, and even strangers who are struggling with now. May we become a community that prays for one another and cares for those in need, just as Christ has cared for us. So let us all sing together, spend time, some time in prayer. You can come to the altar, you can pray, or at your seat, you can pray while singing. And then I will close this prayer. So let's sing chorus and then verse 1 and chorus again.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow.
In trouble.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see.
said with voice only, we can sing voice only, turn your eyes.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for speaking to us through Your word today. You remind us that You are commanded to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances is not a burden, but an invitation to live in Your grace. Even when our hearts are weary and our path seems dark, You call us to fix our eyes on You, the one who conquered sin and death through the cross and resurrection. Thank You, Lord, that our joy does not depend on our situation, but on the truth of salvation You have already accomplished for us. When we cannot rejoice, teach us to remember the cross. When we have no words to pray, let the Holy Spirit intercede for us. And when we find no reason to give thanks, open our eyes to see Your faithful hand still working in every detail in our lives. Amen. God, we confess that sometimes we doubt, we complain, or we lose hope. Yet today, through Your word, You have reminded us that You never leave us, and that even in suffering, Your grace is enough. So Lord, help us rejoice, not because life is easy, but because You are with us. Help us pray not only for our needs, but stay connected with You in every single moment of life, sharing the message of salvation with those who are lost. And help us give thanks not only for blessings, but also in the trials that shape our faith and reveal Your glory. May the joy of salvation be renewed in us today. May Your Spirit fill our hearts so that thanksgiving overflows. And may our lives become living testimony of Your grace. Now we turn our eyes upon You, Jesus. And in the light of Your glory and grace, our fears fade away, and our hearts are filled with peace. We give You all the glory, all the praise, and all our thanksgiving. In mighty Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.